It's time for Over There with Mirella Rostroffer. Mirella is our European correspondent. She joins us weekly. She's over there somewhere. I'm going to guess Switzerland, but in 1 second, just 1 second, ladies and gentlemen, she's going to tell me how I did. Hi, Mirella. How are you?
Hi, Jill. How are you? Yes, absolutely right. From Switzerland. But back from France, so I will definitely talk to you about France today. Before that, I just want to quickly mention that today is the first day of the World Economic Forum in Davos, in the Swiss Alps. There is at the moment not much to say, as today is the opening day. There has been an introduction by our current Swiss president, Uli Maurer, who basically said that dialogue between elites and people is the only way to shape the actual globalization, or a form of globalization that one cannot really stop anymore. But at least there must be some understanding from between the elites and the people in order to succeed and go ahead with it. These are words, of course, and one would have to see how to implement that, but this is the introduction. I have been told that the mood is not so high, as there are many issues that are going to be discussed about. There is, of course, the environment. It is definitely not a side topic anymore. There is the different trade wars that are taking place. There is the Brexit. There is the situation in Europe altogether, in a way, trying to keep Europe altogether. So there will be many topic, many issues about Europe, about the world, of course, that is not only about what's happening over here, it's about what's happening everywhere. There is a little bit of a paradox, though, because obviously this World Economic Forum is very much about making connection, about trying to get to know the right people in order to get also the right deals. So it's very much business oriented, but the talks and the discussions are very much issues and problems oriented, and very often one has the feeling that those two entities are not necessarily taken into consideration together. But maybe there will be more to say about this next week. In the meantime, I wanted to talk about the yellow vest, because I was in Paris and I could I was given the possibility to talk to a few people and to see how Paris transforms literally on Saturdays. It's like the entire week, it's basically business as usual. And on Friday afternoon, things suddenly begins to change. You will meet more police. They are tanks around, there are streets that one cannot walk into anymore, there are more controls, and the atmosphere becomes very surreal. Some shops decide to put protection for their windows, others just close, and others decide to just go through it as if nothing is really happening. So there are different attitudes there. But all together, it's definitely all of a sudden a kind of time capsule where Paris is not the same anymore, at least the center of Paris. And other cities in France, of course, but Paris is what I saw. And there people just are much more careful. And also every time on Fridays, wondering how this Saturday is going to impact life in Paris. And also business, because obviously, for example, now it's the sales, and shops usually do a substantial part of their business in during those sales periods. So it does matter if people are able to go to Paris and buy, or if people are afraid to suddenly be involved in some manifestation. So last Saturday, the 19th, according to the French government, there were 84,000 yellow vests in France. And according the Gilets Jaunes themselves, they were 147,000. So, of course, those numbers are very different, but this is something we know. It's basically always the same, but it does matter. It's not just a joke, because it has an influence on motivation. And if the so-called Gilets Jaunes feel that they have enough people behind them, that they are that they are not isolated, then it's certainly more motivating than feeling that, like the government says, that every Saturday it's getting less and less. In Paris only, there were 7,000 people demonstrating, and it went fairly well. There is always a little bit of violence, sometimes more, sometimes less, but it's certainly something that is debated on both sides. The government says that the yellow vests are incredibly dangerous and violent with the police forces. And the yellow vest say exactly the opposite, that the violence from the police officers is out of line, not necessary, and very damaging, as many people have been really badly hurt. Now it's the time of the big national debate that President Macron has announced. It's taking place all over France, and it's supposed to bring on the table the real worries of the people so that the government can act upon those worries and those realities that are in fact really unfair for so many French people. And this is what I wanted to add to that, is that by talking to people in Paris, people that some that have financial problems, others that don't, they all had something in common, though. And this was maybe the most surprising, is that at core, they believe that this movement is justified. They all think that over the years, many issues have not been dealt with, that too many people are struggling, that not enough is made to help and to basically build a society where, yes, some people have more, others have less, but at the same time, there must be a certain fairness. And this is what many French people I talked to felt was not the case. Where then many of them don't agree anymore, it's the level of violence that is used, and maybe also the fact that the yellow vest, some of them at least, do not really want to discuss or to talk. What they really want is Macron démission. Basically, they want their president gone, and everything that he suggests or everything that his government is trying to suggest in order to help is refused automatically. So one gets the feeling that they are different positions in the yellow vest by now, and I think their future will depend on how much they are able to basically be together and have a position. Some are more flexible and they want a discussion, they want a dialogue, they want to discuss, and they want to see if it's possible to move something. And another position is the one of those who don't believe in the elites, who believe that every word is meant, nothing is just meant to make them have patience, while basically nothing is ever going to end. So the interesting conclusion of that would be, how is that movement going to evolve? Is there going to be a real political party coming out of this movement, or is it going to be a pure opposition? One thing is certain is that many French people of all social status believe that change is necessary. I guess that's probably what is the main driving force behind this movement. But now the question is how those changes are going to be made. Is this big national debate announced and by President Macron going to also be followed by action? Or is that going to remain some kind of intellectual debate? I guess this is really what's going to be the turning point to know what's going to happen in France next. Right now, I think they are having heavy snow in France, including Paris. That might have also an impact on next Saturday. But from what I could gather in Paris, I think that movement is, or that unhappiness is there to stay. And if President Macron doesn't make some radical changes to answer to those real needs, the surprise might come for the next presidential election, or even for the next European elections. And that's a point that naturally cannot be ignored, because those movements, while having good goals in mind, are also, of course, used and misused by both extremes on the right and on the left.
Thank you very much, Mirella Rastorfer. Over there.
My pleasure.